It's good to have everyone here. I'd like to challenge you to kind of let today, this Easter day, be a new beginning for you. Don't let the old things of the viruses and the sicknesses and the things of the end times keep you from diligently serving God. Don't live under fear and anxiety of the future because we have no idea what's going to happen. But it's okay. He's got it all under control. He really, really has it all under control. I would like for you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, 28. Before we leave here this morning, in just a few minutes, in fact, we're going to be taking communion. And this is not just for a church, it's for the church. It's for the body of Christ. And if you are a Christian, we want you to take communion. Okay. Communion is you acknowledging that you are committed to serving Jesus, Him and He alone, that you depend on Him for your salvation, for your eternal life. And so you're letting heaven and hell know, I'm going to serve Jesus. No matter what, I'm going to serve Jesus. My eternity depends on Jesus. And so when you take communion, the devils of hell recognize and the angels in heaven recognize that you belong to Jesus. And you're renewing your contract, so to speak. And you're acknowledging that this man Jesus really did exist, that he was born of Mary, but he was also born of God. His father was God. The power, Scripture says, of the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became expectant with a child. And that child was without sin because the father was without sin. And so, therefore, Jesus never had sin until you messed up and he had to take your sin. And me and Adam and everybody in between. But because of our sin, he died. He died for us. He wasn't forced to. God did not pressure him to. He laid down his life that we might have eternal life. He who knew no sin became sin for us. We might have the righteousness of God. And that's really what Easter is about. It's about an opportunity for my life and your life to change forever. And you say, well, preacher, I'm already a Christian. I'm not talking about just being a Christian. I'm talking about because of Him, you can have a relationship with God that is unlike anything you've ever experienced, because this relationship with God grows, as the Scripture says, from glory to glory. He wants to reveal Himself to us more and more. And so I challenge you to take a hold of that promise that is yours through Christ. It's really real. If the whole plan of God, if your eternal life, if heaven, if that is not real, I have no idea what you're doing here. Because that's why we're here. And if there's no heaven in your mind, and there's no hell, and there's no forever, we just live and die, you're a foolish person. Because the Scripture even says that a person that is simple can see by creation that there's a God. So, friend, just the song that you saw and heard the words is enough to convict us, to condemn us. There was someone who died for our sins. In Matthew, well, let's Let's go to chapter 27 and verse 62. After the fact, we hear from Matthew about what happened. And it says in verse 62, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember what that deceiver said. Then that's kind of seemed like planting thoughts. That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, that after 3 days he's going to come out of the grave. So, Pilate, command therefore that the grave, the sepulcher, be made sure until the third day, because he said third day he's coming out, lest his disciples come by night and they steal him away and say to the people, oh, he's risen from the dead. So the last error, wait, who made an error? Who's acknowledging an error? So that the error we just committed is going to be worse than the first. Killing him was not a good thing. And if it gets out that he resurrected, you haven't seen the end of it. It's going to be worse than our first mistake. Pilate said, okay, you have a watch. You have people that takes turns through the hours, 3 hours at a time, and they're going to watch over things. So you take this watch, throw your way, and make it as sure as you can. Let me tell you, sure as you can is kind of like having a battalion there. So they went, and they made the sepulcher, the grave, sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch for people to guard it. Now, in the end of the Sabbath, this is the first day of the week, the dawn of the first day of the week, the last day of the Sabbath. It's getting early morning. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the grave. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, I want to tell you what really happened. There was a great earthquake. There was an earthquake. Angels can't do anything easy. I mean, they come from earth. Said they were sent from heaven to move that stone. Now, it says here that the angel of the Lord came, and they rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Isn't that kind of in your face? We got this thing sealed. Nobody can get in there. One angel comes, and he moves the stone back and sits on it. It's kind of like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Take that, devil. And so he comes and sits on it, and this angel, his countenance was like lightning. Now, come on, don't let that just slip through your brain. He looked like lightning. I mean, talking about bright. I tell you what, your headlights have never been cleaned that good, friend. I mean, this is not deer in a headlight look. This is like lightning. You know how lightning can light up everything. I mean, this guy's sitting on that stone. He's not doing this inconspicuously. He's got enough light there to light up the whole end of town. And this angel, his countenance, the way he looked, was like lightning. And his raiment, his clothes, as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake for a while. They saw this angel, and they shook. And then they fell over like dead people. They were unconscious. I mean, they're like dead people. Now, they have seen something from another world. Y'all, preacher, don't start that stuff. Well, they did. You see, there's another world out there a whole lot bigger than this world. You know, it's kind of like people in foreign countries sometimes, they can't imagine how big of a nation you live in. They can't even comprehend that how long it would take for you to get across from east to west in the United States. They can't believe that because they've never seen it. But this This created being from another world came, and it gave them fear. They became as dead. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not." Yeah, right. Right, don't be afraid. You know, there are some people right here this morning that's afraid. There's some people here this morning that's afraid of what God might do to them. "Oh God, I hope you don't speak to me about anything today, because I'm not for sure that I'm ready to deal with that, or that I want to make that change in my life." And this is early in the morning. It's just starting to get daylight. And they see this angel sitting there, and he says, "Fear not." He could have said, "This is a Sabbath day," and it would have scared him. "Fear not. I know who you're looking for. He's not here. He's risen." I want to tell you something, folks. This really happened. It really, really happened. This happened, and therefore, we have a responsibility for it. And what are we going to do with it? Well, you know what? If you ignore it, it'll go away. You just ignore about the resurrection of one person that resurrected himself. That was Jesus. That same Spirit that raised him from the dead, if that dwells in you. He said he'll even quicken your mortal body and mine. So, we have a responsibility. Every one of us here has a responsibility to follow what Jesus said. He said, you believe in who I am, then follow my commandments. You're not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's saying what he said. Believe him. And so, I want you to note this little saying. This angel who could frighten the whole town just by showing up said, "Come, I want to show you where he was laying." They'd had to help me up probably. And saying, "No way you're getting me in there." But you see, they go in, and we know by other accounts, they found his clothes there, wrapped in, and folded up in different places. And so, you know what? The word's going to come around. Somebody stole this guy. Except, can you imagine someone that is wrapped? Now, they wrapped him with wrapped, kind of like, you see, a mummy wrapped. That's really the way they do it. And they would have spices, and they'd wrap all that in there. And they would wrap the head separately. And they've got these perfumed spices and the such. I tell you what, man, you couldn't get away with something like that. You're going to smell this all the way home. They wrap him up. They wrap his body with spices in there. And his head wrapping. And so we find by other accounts that whenever they saw this, they were nice and neat. You know what neat is? Somebody didn't undo this wrapping. This wrapping, just the way the body came out. I mean, just like whenever we're raptured, when the Lord comes and gets us, you know, if the Lord came right now, my coat's going to be laying down here on the floor. Don't somebody be saying, "Wow, sure is messy, isn't he? Why didn't he hang his coat up?" No, I'm not going to hang my coat up. I'm just going to disappear out of it. And that's what happened to Jesus. He died and came out of that body. And so that's why his head was laying there and his body was laying there. And nobody, you know, you just can't unwrap a mummy and wrap him back up the way he was after you take him out. And so they say, come and look where he was laying. Well, we can see he's not there and hasn't been. So go quickly, he says, and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And he's going to go to Galilee before you get there. And for them to come there to see him. People travel for thousands of miles to see an amusement park. said, you go to Galilee, and he'll reveal himself to you. And note this phrase, lo, I have told you so. I am telling you this. Jesus says concerning mansions in heaven, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would tell you there's no such place. Now, you think about it, friend. If you reject Jesus, you decide you don't want to follow this man Jesus, you think it's a farce, you think you have more confidence in an Easter bunny with chocolate ears, you know, instead of Jesus, you really are a fool. I mean, you really are. Because there's an eternal life out there. I want to tell you what, if there's anything that would convince me other than the Word of God and the experience of my own life, I've been around a lot of people who have died. I've been around macho men who died and they didn't need God. And they whimpered like babies because they realized they had rejected Him so many times. They couldn't find it in their heart to believe that He would forgive them. They'd say, I just can't believe it. I rejected Him too many times. You see, if they would believe, He would forgive them. It wasn't God failing. It was that they had said, no, 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 I don't need you. I don't want you to leave me alone so many times. And now they can't believe. You with me? Wow. I mean, you know, all of a sudden the macho stuff is gone. Or the intellectual. I've seen people so intellectual. They've got all the answers. They've got answers we don't even have questions to. And then when it comes time to getting ready to go out into eternity, and they cry out to God, and they're so smart they can't figure it out. If they were really smart, they'd realize that the smart can't figure it out. Because it's so simple. It's so simple. This story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Go to Galilee and tell him he'll see you there. Because I told you so. I told you so. The angel said, what do you think? I don't know anything. I told you. He's going to meet you there. And they might say to you, yeah, who told you this? Okay, go tell him. Go tell him this. This angel that talked to you told him so. They departed quickly from the sepulcher. They'd taken off. And they run with, how's this for a combination? Fear and great joy. That's why some of you are here today. You're scared to death. And you wished you could experience the joy of an absolute freedom and liberty. That you could be free from your past. You could be free from all the things that bind you up. That you could have a life. And that more abundantly, but you're scared to. You're afraid, but you're joyful at the possibility. The possibility, it's not just a possibility, it's real, that you can have when you leave here today, no matter what condition you came, when you leave here today, you can have eternal life. You can know that you know it. If you're in your homes, streaming with us, you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins because all power is given to Him, He said. He said, all power is given to me. I can forgive your sins. If you ask me, I can forgive you of your sins. And so there is no excuse for anyone streaming or anyone here to go out into eternity without knowing Jesus. There's no excuse. So, they departed quickly. They go with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, something happened. Jesus met them. He says, all hail. Hey, pay up. Pay attention. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They're believers now. Okay. They see who he is. And they worshiped him. They fell at his feet. Do you know it's already daylight? Can you imagine? These ladies and they see this man out here on the street, and they fall down on the ground and put their arms around his legs, and they worship him in public? Oh, preacher, don't ever expect me to do that. If you're that afraid, I don't expect you to. You can't unless the Spirit of God can reveal to you the comparison of the greatest things in this world compared to eternal life. And having forever and ever being in the presence of God and loved ones who have gone on. I'm talking about forever. I'm talking about always. 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 Not for a long time. Not for a few million earth years. I mean always. To live in the place to where there is no end. To live in a place where there is no tomorrow. It's always today. There's no night. To live in a place where time doesn't enter in it. The sun doesn't set. The sun doesn't rise. In fact, because of God's throne, He's the light. It's yours, friend. It's yours free. It is yours. It costs you nothing except to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And ask Him to forgive you. You say, preacher, I think that's too difficult. Oh, well, try the other alternative. No, He purchased you. He gave you an alternative. You see, we deserve hell. We deserve separation from God. Excuse me. And so, if we might. Jesus said to them, Be not afraid. Go tell your brethren that they go to Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. The people back there, you know, they secured the stone. They came into the city, and they showed the chief priests all things that were done. No, they didn't. They slept through most of it. They were like dead people. It's hard to tell them what they told them. But they told them enough because when they woke up, there wasn't anybody there. The body was gone. And so, when they were assembled with the elders, took counsel, I tell you what, if you're in trouble, you need counsel, and they're in big trouble. And so they took counsel, what are we going to do? And so the elders are taking counsel, so they say to these people that were watching, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give all these people watching, the soldiers and such, we're going to give you a lot of money. You're going to be wealthy people. Now, there is a problem, you see, because the government's going to get on to them. They were responsible for taking care of this. And so they said, we're going to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Oh, that's a good way to lose your head. And if this come to the governor, we're going to appeal, okay? And it's going to go to the governor. We're going to persuade him. We're going to persuade him. Follow the money trail. We'll persuade him, and we will secure you. We're going to pay bond for you. So they took the money. Of course they took the money. See, people can often be bought for something better than what they have. I tell you what, I remember when I was a teenager. And I had a pretty decent life, lived out in the country, down by Bonner Bridge, some of you know. I lived out in the country, we were farmers, and so I had a pretty good life. And when I was a teenager, I realized that if I died, I didn't have that good of a life. Okay, I mean, good life, you know, worked all the time, you know, that's what we done, you know, terrible. I mean, we were really mistreated back then. I mean, to tell you, you know. Man, you had the whole tobacco and soybeans and milk cows and feed pigs. They wouldn't let you do that stuff nowadays. I mean to tell you, Mom and Dad be locked up someplace. But my dad didn't know that. And so he just kept me at it, and my brothers. And so it was terrible mistreatment, you know. I had to work so much. But I realized, what are you laughing about, Dwayne? You know, you're not. Okay, but you see, I realized when I was 17 years old that if I died, my life wasn't very good. I weighed the facts and realized if I die, I am going to spend forever outside of the presence of God. And if I believe that Jesus, who he said he was, and I ask him to forgive me of my sin, no matter what it costs me, if I have to do miserable things the rest of my life, it's still a good trade-off. So these people, they took the money. It was a good trade-off to them. They took the money. Some of you are thinking about taking the money this morning. I'm not going to turn my life over to Jesus. I'm going to get out of here if I can. And I'm going to take the money. I'm going to take the easy path out. I'm going to take my friends. I'm going to take my family. I'm going to take my good life. Think for a moment what your good life is like. It's not working. And so they took the money. And they did as they were taught. They do what you're told to do. As your friends tell you what to do, be sure and do what they tell you to do so you can be happy, not. And so the 11 disciples went to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They knew where to go. And when they saw him, wow, just like some of us, they worshiped him, but they still doubted. Well, let me tell you, if you are growing spiritually, sometimes you will worship him and doubt because he's leading you into new waters you've never experienced. See, you might be comfortable just sitting in a seat this morning, and he's trying to get you to grow a little bit. And so, I don't know, God, I don't know whether I want to do this or not. And so, even though they worshiped him, some of them doubted. They didn't doubt who he was. They just doubted this whole thing. I mean, this never happened before. Jesus said to them, if you would please, before we close. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. I appreciated what Brother Joe was teaching on this morning. You know about this man Jesus. Isaiah wrote about him over 700 years before. Told about this man Jesus and the power being given to him and what he could do. And he says to these people, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. That means he has the power to take care of you, friend. Amen. And he says, you go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. So now, friend, you have a decision to make. Not just for today. You may have your name written in the book of life, and probably most of you have, maybe all of you. I don't know. I can't judge how people are, but he still wants us to grow. We're living in really difficult times, folks. Really, really, really difficult times. We're going to see such changes that, as the Scripture says in the New Testament, there's going to be a great falling away. People are going to quit serving God because there's going to be so much deception. There's going to be great deception. And all this that the world gathers together, it's all going to fail, friend. It's all going to fail. Wow. I tell you what, You need to pay attention to what's going on in the world today, because it's a changing fast, folks. It's really changing fast. And I want to ask our worship team to come down if they would. And I want to ask these men to help us. Brother Joe Green and Brother Jeff Purr, I need you folks to get one of the communion trays and one of the bread trays. And Randy Schaefer, if you and Dwayne Mercer would help us likewise. And Jacob Storm and Tim Meese, if you men would help us. And one get a cup and one the bread. And we're going to have prayer here in a moment. And then they're going to come along and serve you. Take a piece of bread and take a cup and just hold it a little bit later. We'll have you stand and we're going to pray. And friend, if you don't know Jesus, you can talk to him right there in your seat. If you want communion down here, you can come and kneel down here. They'll serve you down here. And as you folks get finished and come to platform, up in sound booth, whatever, okay. This is not something to shun and say, I don't feel worthy. Well, you're not worthy. None of us are. But if we're trusting Jesus, this is a strength to us, because we're renewing our commitment to him in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. We're his children by his grace, and it's not because we're so good. It's not because we do everything right. It's because he did everything right. Let us pray right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the desire that you have for us. You don't give up on us, Lord. You don't give up on us. And so, Lord, I pray for every person here. Lord, if there's one person that is not ready to meet you, let them make the toughest decision they ever made in their life, and yet the easiest. The one with the greatest, greatest result. Eternal life, a new life, their sins forgiven, and you'll guide them all the rest of their forever. Lord, I pray that you would fill this room with your presence. And Lord, anoint the cup and the bread, Lord, later on as we will pray again. But thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Men, if you would please, and Brother Joe will help you get there where you need to be. Please, be in an attitude of prayer, okay? Don't take this lightly, okay? Because hell recognizes that you are renewing your commitment to serve Jesus no matter what. And he doesn't want you to do that. So don't take it lightly, okay? Ask the Lord to help you, to direct you, and to guide you, okay? Worship team, if you would, please. Ask him to search you. About that, friend. He Did we miss anyone? Don't want to miss anyone. Okay, I'd like for you to stand together with me. We have been reminded many times of who Jesus was and what he did. And the Apostle Paul says, I received this from the Lord, and I'm telling you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, said, this cup is the New Testament of in my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You are acknowledging, friend, as you partake of this bread in a moment, that you believe that Jesus really was born of Mary, fathered by God, and that he was sinless. He was of the lineage of David, both through his mother and through his legal father, Joseph. He was of the lineage of Abraham, as the promise was given. And so he was who the Word said he would be 2,500 years before it ever came to pass. Amen. So we can't just say, I don't believe it, because your eternity depends on it. So when you take the bread, you're acknowledging, you believe that this man Jesus really was who he said he was, that he resurrected from the grave 3 days after he was slain. And when we partake of the cup, we're acknowledging that we trust the blood of Jesus, which was his life draining out of him, the scripture says, that you believe that he gave his life for you. Now for others, but you're acknowledging, for you, you're letting hell know and heaven know, I believe that my eternity depends upon Jesus. My faith in him, not my works, not my goodness. Not to say we don't need good works. We definitely do. But we're not counting on our entrance into heaven, our eternal life, through our works. So let us pray, and then we're going to take the bread together. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, bless this bread, even as Jesus asked you to bless it. Lord, it doesn't make it anything holy, but it puts a spiritual emphasis upon it. Lord, that you really do acknowledge, that we acknowledge, that we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, nothing more, nothing less. So, Lord, we partake of this bread, acknowledging Jesus in the flesh. He was God come in the flesh. Bless this bread in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless this cup as we partake of it, acknowledging that this is symbolic of your blood which was shed for us. Now we partake of this, Lord, believing in Jesus the Christ, that his death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for cleansing us of our sin. Not just forgiving us, but paying the price, making it okay. The debt has been paid, and we trust nothing except the blood of Jesus. Now, Lord, help us to also grant that unto others. As you forgive us, we forgive others, Lord. Father, we drink this cup, acknowledging before all creation, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you, Sister Donna, to lead us in that song again. And before we close in prayer, I want to ask the man to come by and pick up the cups. Pass your cups towards the center aisle, if you would, please. And if you would, Sister Donna. about what we're singing, please. Think about it, friend. Think about it. He holds your future. Sing it with us. Because He lives. Isn't that great? Sing it one more time into the Lord. If there's anybody who'd like to come down to the altar and just pray, come down. You just want to come down and say, thank you, Jesus. Fear is gone. Don't you love Him? Because of Him, you get to go to heaven. Oh, yeah, reach out to Him as we're singing one more time. Reach out to Him. Just kind of get lost in Him because He loves you. He loves you so much, my friend. It's all about Him. Because He lives. Wow. You can face tomorrow and all the tomorrows to come. I know. Do you know it? Do you know it? Appreciate everyone being here this morning. Thank you so much. And for those who are streaming with us, thank you so very much. And just make a diligent effort, if we might, just to grow in the Lord. Talk about Him. Meditate upon Him. Let's grow in Him. The King is coming back, folks. The King is coming back. And please, please, please don't miss heaven. Whatever you do, don't miss heaven. We're going to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much. So much, Lord God, for letting us be in your house. Thank you for letting us know about you. Lord, thank you for letting us know about you. You've been so good to us, Lord. We are so blessed. Surely, Lord, there's no one on planet Earth more blessed than we are. Thank you for it, Lord. Please, Lord, reach out to those who are streaming, those who are out of town, Lord. Those who are not well, touch your people, Lord. You are real. You're it. That's what it is. And Lord God, I pray you'd go with these folks and just bless their homes, their families, their loved ones, Lord. All that you've blessed them with. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team, would you play that song one more time, please? Just that chorus as folks dismiss. Lord bless you.